Something I want to share with you. Oh. It's a little distance away, i.e. it's Christmas. On Christmas Day, we're going to have a service, and it's going to be held at Jean and Stuart's. So that's definite now. So, and I gather that Jilly was happy with that. So, and you ought to have seen their two faces when I asked them if it was possible.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it shone.
Lovely.
It was amazing. Oh. We've been to Sarah's before on Christmas Day, haven't we? Yeah.
I'll give you a tea.
Thanks for that.
Right, anyway, over to Jilly.
Well, good morning, everyone. And good morning to all those watching online. And while we're thinking about that, Rachel, Bruce's friend, always watches online, and she's been for an interview and looks like she's done well in it and got a second interview tomorrow morning at 10:30. So if you could remember Rachel in your prayers at 10:30 tomorrow morning, that would be wonderful, because she really liked the job and it suits her. So yeah, so let's pray that the Lord blesses her in that. Thank you. So here we are, and our didn't have my finger in the message. There's lots going on this morning, isn't there? So, some of life's experiences. So, we'll look forward to what Bruce is going to share with that. And we've got some wonderful hymns and songs today to fit in with that message. So we're going to begin with prayer, and then we'll sing and worship together. Lord Jesus, once again, we thank you. We thank you for this place that we can come to worship you. We thank you for the staff here and how accommodating they are to us, and that the door has been open for so many years and continues to be so for us to come and worship you here. So we thank you for each and every one of us as we join here as family this morning. And most of all, we come to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for all that you've done in our lives. In your name, Jesus, amen. So we're going to start with, "To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in."
Jesus the Son.
Of our Lord above all things, we're going to sing above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began.
All the way.
Come to our Lord in prayer, and we're going to be thinking particularly in prayer of the new life that is available, and we're going to thank the Lord for it. Almighty and most gracious God, we come with thankful hearts to show our appreciation to you for the fantastic life that you have given us. It's amazing. It's much more than we deserve. It's a new life available to all who accept the gift of salvation. You gave your life for us, and you opened a new door for us to enter. This new life brings forgiveness and a host of promises for each of us to claim. Lord, may we trust you and live the new life moving forward in your service. And Lord, as we come to you in prayer, we want to pray for those people who, because of their health, have difficult lives, and we pray for those who look after them also. And we pray for those that can't be with us today, but will be joining us online. We think of Stuart and Jean. We think of Rachel, Bruce's friend. Be with her, Lord, on Tuesday particularly. We pray for John. We pray for Helen. Lord, you know each one, and you know their needs. We bring them to you, Lord. And Lord, we need you too. And we want to pray for each of us. We pray for Jilly. We pray for Richard. We pray for Sarah Jane. We pray for Sarah. We pray for Brian and for his family. We pray for Eunice and myself. We pray for Bruce, and thank you for all he does for us. And we pray, Lord, for Rita. We pray for her and her family, and particularly for April. And we pray, Lord, for Bruce. And we pray, Lord, for Graham. And for Dawn, we thank you for them, Lord, and pray that you would meet their needs as they move into a new home. So, Lord, we ask that you would be with us. You know, Lord, life with you is remarkable. It is in every sense an abundant life, and we rejoice in knowing how wonderful life really is. And it's our promise to you, Lord, that we will share with others what a relationship with you really is, and we will look forward to the new life in heaven that awaits us. Our prayer is, Lord, that many people will come to know you and receive Jesus into their hearts and know this great and abundant life that we already share. Thank you, Lord. We bring our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
So we're going to sing Meekness and Majesty, Manhood and Deity. In perfect harmony, the man who is God, Lord of eternity, dwells in humanity, kneels in humility, and washes our feet. Amen.
Majesty, manhood and deity, in perfect harmony, the man who
And Sarah is going to share that with us this morning. Thank you,
Sarah. The reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians 10, 23 to 33. Everything is permissible when everything is permissible. Everything is permissible when everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good for the good of others. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions or patience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If some unbeliever invites you to a meal and wants to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising question or conscience. If anyone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the man who told you and for conscience sake. The man's conscience alone, not yours. For why should my freedom be judged by another's conscience? If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the Church of God, even as I try to please everybody in every way. For I am seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that you may be saved.
Thank you. Amen. To all, to the glory of God.
Going to sing, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of glory now. 'Tis the Father's pleasure, we should call him Lord, who from the beginning was the mighty Word.
Oh,
Now, as we come to the message, a message was prepared for tonight, for today, I should say, sorry. And as time went on, I felt the Lord was saying something to me. And I had to take away the one that was prepared because I thought it was not what God wanted to say to us at this time. And so I looked and waited on the Lord, and a message came. And I thought, well, what title can I give it? And as I looked at the message, I thought, well, it's telling us of some of life's experiences. And I thought, well, that's something we need to make sure that we know about. And so that's why you have this message. Some of life's experiences, yes, all right. Well, we're going to begin, there's 2 points, or is it three? The experience of our lives as people can be peculiar, or they can be truly human. You know, my friends, God wants us to be whole people, not religious people. I have recently heard of a man being struck by sheer normality of true spiritually. That's the way he puts it. Jesus, the only perfect man who ever lived on this earth, was so normal that most of his relations, friends and neighbors could not believe that he possibly could be the Messiah. He was nothing like religious. He was simply the son of a local carpenter. He was later accused of being a glutton, a drunkard, and friend of sinners. And you know how easily we fall into the trap of thinking that the only truly spiritual person has some special kind of aura, some area or mystique of holiness. They have that kind of thing about them, we think, which keeps them separate from the more ordinary and wholesome things of life. And you know how urgently we need to rediscover God as creator. God is the creator of all that was made. And he was not just creator, but of course, and praise God, he was and is redeemer. As someone once said, God did not have to put texts on tulips before we can wholeheartedly thank God for them. It was part, we believe, of the Gnostic heresy that spirituality meant denying or trying to escape from the bodily natural aspects of humanity and concentrating wholly on the realm of the spirit. But, God wants us to be fully human as well as being filled with his spirit. And the second part I want to share with you that we experience in our life, and I hope and pray we certainly do. And that is, number two, the glory of God. The problem for the Christian is not how to avoid buying and selling, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. These are integral parts, yes, of human existence. The basic problem is how to avoid being controlled by the power that lies behind those things I've just mentioned. The power I'm talking about is the power of the evil one, who will use those experiences to perform his evil ministry. There is only one solution to this problem as Christians. We must handle these routine activities entirely for the glory of God alone. Remember the example of Jonathan Sebastian Bach, who described every musical score, sacred or secular, with these words: "To God alone be the glory." That's how he felt. Even those secular souls, he called them, or he said of them, "To alone be the glory." Therefore, friends, our activities belong either to God, if we can do them to his glory, or to Satan. Remember that in the parable of the sower, Jesus described the seed that fell among the thorns like this. The seed that fell among thorns stand for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. In other words, ordinary things were and can be used by Satan to spoil God's works, and we must be careful. "Oh," says someone, "I must have that dress, or I must have that record, or I must have that car." I must have? Must you? Have you prayed about it? Are you buying it for God's glory? You may retort that you don't pray about such things, but you should, because when you are handling the things of this world, you may well be coming under the power that controls it all. Even with the most ordinary decisions and activities, our lives should be so centered in Christ and his glory that our choices and actions contribute to his kingdom and not to Satan's kingdom. And the third point we want to say is that there is no dead end. There's no dead end to life. A baby was born with a serious heart defect, but he enjoyed comparatively good health. Then the surgeon felt that the time had come for the family to accept that they would perform a difficult and delicate heart operation, which had 50-50 chances of success. With the parents' permission, the operation was performed successfully, and the parents watched their son's strength returning. But on the day that he was due to go home, he had a relapse, and he died. His mother and father were naturally heartbroken, but they were not bitter. No. They were not bitter, although they might have so easily been. But after all, why had God allowed this to happen? Were they not Christians? Hadn't they and hundreds of others been praying? Why had God not answered their prayers? The boy's parents still can't answer all those questions, but they soon came to see God's amazing pattern of blessing for themselves and for others as a result of their son's death. Amazing attitude. At his son's funeral, the father was able to stand up and thank God for the life they had been privileged to enjoy for 5 years, for the comfort and the peace that they had experienced through the difficult days, and for the assurance about God's fullness in the future. Most of all, the father thanked God that his son was more alive now than ever. How? Well, with the risen and ascended Christ enjoying something far better than that, anything he could have experienced in this world. And of course, they were sad for themselves, but they couldn't possibly be sad for their son. You may find this hard to bear. Of course they couldn't be sad for their son. Was their deep assurance merely wishful thinking? Not at all. Not at all, my friends. It was based on the very solid and substantial evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And his resurrection, hear it, his resurrection guarantees ours. Believe it, my friends, because it's there for all who truly believe. And I'm so thankful that Ginny, the hymn that she's chosen to follow, the message is "All Heaven Declares the Glory of the Risen Lord." And that's why that family had joy in their hearts.
Bruce said, "All heaven declares the glory of the risen Lord."
Who can
an apology to make. Apparently, I didn't say Deborah's name. I said another name. And I apologize wholeheartedly for that. Deborah is a good believer and has brought a lot of happiness to many, many lives, including mine. So I apologize entirely. I didn't even know I'd made that mistake. But thank you for telling me, and I didn't mean it. We love you. Thank you, Julie.
So we're going to finish with blessing and honor, glory and power. And it says, every tongue in heaven and on earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne in worship. You will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days.
She doesn't want to give him her germs.
May the
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Hallelujah.